Amen. If you got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to the book of Nehemiah. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to grab a pew Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah. It's tucked between 2 Chronicles and the book of Esther, between 2 Chronicles and the book of Esther. Had a lot of events going on this week that kind of led me to this book. We were at basketball practice on Monday, and we were talking about building a wall. And let me just echo what Brother Rich said. You know, I'm more conservative than Attila the Hun. But I also know that we have children of God who do not agree with my political point of view. And that's okay, because we are all one in Jesus Christ. So whether you voted for Trump or whether you voted for Hillary, today's message is build a wall stronger together, because we're going to unite the two under the cause of Jesus Christ. But what happened was we were talking about building a wall, and somebody made a Trump reference. And just off the top of my head, I'm like, I'm not quoting Trump. I'm quoting Nehemiah, baby. And then all of a sudden, the election results came in the next day. And then the divisiveness that this country has experienced is manifesting itself and is continuing to manifest itself from talking heads on the TV that just don't get it. You know, how could people do this and vote this way to protests that are going on? And it kind of saddens me, too, because I think that we are in a danger that if we don't continue to listen to the other side, or if they don't continue to listen to us, that the division is going to grow deeper, when what we need is to work together. And what God has called us to do is to work together, and I hope to show that through Scripture, and that by working together, at least as a church, that we will individually and collectively be stronger, because we need to protect our spiritual progress. We need to protect our Christian walk and our spiritual progress, and the book of Nehemiah has the most awesome section on how to do that. And I'm so excited about today's messages. You know, there's some messages where as you prepare them, it's like, oh, this is going to be good. But there's some messages when you prepare them, it's like you get goosebumps. Well, for me personally, this is a goosebump message. So if you got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And if y'all remember Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king of Babylon. And Nehemiah was a little bit discouraged because what had happened was, just a real quick history lesson, we had David, great king, flawed. We had Solomon, great king, flawed. Then we had a series where the kingdom was divided in half between Judah and Israel. Israel had a series of wicked kings, and they were conquered by Assyria. Judah got conquered by Babylon. And the people of Judah were actually taken off, and it was called the Diaspora, taken to Babylon. And some of them remained behind, because you got to have people remaining behind to keep the infrastructure up to speed and stuff like that. Well, Nehemiah was one of the people that were taken off to Babylon. At least he's one of the generations of the people that were taken off to Babylon. And he was a cupbearer to the king. And then one day he goes before the king, and he's just got this burden because God's been working on his heart. I mean, he's just got this burden that God wants him to do something for the nation of Judah, for the glory days. Now, it's kind of important for you to know that Nehemiah, he's not a preacher. Nehemiah is not a priest. You do not have to be in the ministry to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Whether you're an IT tech or a prosecutor, whether you're saying, would you like fries with that, or you're a greeter at Walmart, you are in a position to work for God's kingdom. It doesn't matter what your occupation or vocation is. You can make a difference for the kingdom of God. Well, Nehemiah's vocation is cupbearer to the king, and one day he's just so burdened and starting to show his countenance is all sad, and the king's like, dude, what's up with you? And it's actually kind of a risky moment. Y'all have heard that message before. The king says, what do you want to do? And he says, hey, man, I want to go back home, and I want to rebuild the walls. And you might think that you're listening to Fox News. I mean, who is this, Donald Trump building a wall? Oh, come on, people. That was funny. You don't got to get all tense. He says, I want to build the wall. And Nehemiah says, all right, go on. And he gives them the funds and to do it. And so Nehemiah takes the people and he goes on back and they start to rebuild the wall. And what y'all might remember from previous Bible studies is that as they're building the wall, the enemy that surrounded them, Sanballat and his gang of thugs, they keep on attacking at the low places. They just keep on attacking. They keep on attacking. And that's where we're going to pick up. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. And Judah, that's the company of people that he's with, the Israelites, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is more rubbish, much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. And the adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you will return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, this is Nehemiah, set I in the lower places behind the walls, and on the higher places I even set people after their families with their sword, their spears, and their bows. Skip on down to verse 19. And when I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight with us. So Nehemiah, in this passage of scripture, the people, let's not, they find themselves discouraged and they find themselves frustrated because it seems like they can't make any progress in their life. And I know in my own life, when I'm trying to do something or to achieve something, I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm not making any progress, I don't like not making progress towards my goal. That's just part of my personality. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about my financial life, my physical life, my relational life. I like to make progress. And that's why this story in Nehemiah kind of speaks to me. Because they are given an assignment by God. And all of a sudden they find like they're having all this opposition. And you're given an assignment by God. And they're in the land of promise with their assignment by God. And they're not making any progress. They're actively working to build what God has called them to build. And what God has up until this point seemingly blessed them to do. And yet they find themselves running into opposition over and over and over and over again. And the text says as soon as they started to build it up, that the enemy would come and find the low places and the weak spots. And then they'd attack right there. And there they are. They're standing in the looking at the rubble once again. And they're saying, man, can we really go on anymore? I mean, is it really worth it? Because the strength of the laborers is given out. Now, that they're not just talking about a physical strength. The strength of the laborers is also kind of talking about that spiritual strength, that inner resolve, that resiliency that just keeps pushing you on in the face of overwhelming odds, that drive that allows you to continue to push forward and to persevere in tenacity. And they're losing it. And they're so discouraged at this point because they're looking at the rubble, which represented all that they had done. And the rubble represents their failed attempts and all their disappointments and their sadness. Because every time they started to make the progress of building this wall, the enemy would come and he would tear it down. And there's a real danger that we can have sometimes as Christians is we'll make an area, some progress in our lives, and the enemy can come and he can tear it down and attack us. And I tell you, it just gets spiritually discouraging sometimes. We get at that low point. I know that every person here knows what I'm talking about. And that's what's going on here. And so the company says, hey, man, our strength is given out. We don't want to fight anymore. We don't want to keep doing this. And this is despite the firm conviction that God has called them to accomplish this mission. They just want to give out. They find themselves in this place like a lot of us find ourselves when we're weak and we're discouraged. And maybe today you're in a spot like that. I mean, maybe today your bank account is not where you want it to be. Or your kids are not where you want them to be. And things are not going great. So I got a question for you. How is your faith today? When is the last time that you kind of had one of those significant moments where it was just kind of you and God, you felt God speaking to you and you felt uplifted or you felt encouraged? When is the last time that happened to you? Have you been attacked and what's going on? Because the enemy, the strategy of the enemy is always to attack you in the weak places and the places where you are exposed and the places where you are vulnerable. That's the strategy of the enemy. Now, some of y'all might know this. I'm a kind of a competitive person. I like to win. Go Dogs. What a great victory yesterday. I like to win, right? And here's the downside about being such a competitive person. The flip side of that is I kind of hate losing.
And I don't mind. You know, my daddy told me one time, and it's a word that he said to me, and I actually had to look it up. I didn't know what it meant, but when he said it and I looked it up, it actually meant a lot to me. And it's the word resiliency. It's like, John, you're a really resilient kid. And I didn't know what he meant. I looked it up, and it's like, oh, that's somebody who, when he gets knocked down, can get back up and get back up and get back up. And I'm kind of glad Dad said that to me, because there have been times in my life when I've been knocked down and I didn't want to get up. And it's like, well, my daddy thinks I'm resilient. I'm gonna get back up. But and I want to teach that to my kids too. I want to teach that to my kids that when you get knocked back down, get back up. Just because life throws you a curveball that you didn't expect, don't give up. But there is a fine line between resiliency and stupidity. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, a fly trying to get outside just keeps flying into the window. That's stupid. Dude, just back up and go around. There is a fine line between resilience and stupidity. And what I'm trying to do is, as a parent, is not to screw up my kids, because I want them to be resilient, but I don't want them to be stupid. And it's kind of difficult for me to know the exact contours of being able to navigate this particular parental challenge. Because I do have a tendency, like, I think I'm a pretty resilient person. I mean, I had to apply 3 times to get into law school. I mean, I had a brain aneurysm, and they're telling me you're never going to be normal again. And it was just from the incessant prodding of the satanic doctors that it was easy. I could have taken the easy path and not walked. But that was a very pivotal moment right after the surgery. I mean, I went down to 107 pounds at 6'3". I looked like I'd stepped out of Auschwitz. I was such a bag of bones. And at that very pivotal moment, well, you can take it easy, or you might be able to walk again. And so with that might, that's what I clung on to. And with Mom by my side and Dad by my side, it was doing the neuro shuffle down the hallway. Sometimes them having to lift me up. So I got a little bit of resiliency, I think. But at the same time, look, man, if we're playing Monopoly and all I got is Mediterranean and Baltic, and you got everything else with hotels on it, that board's going to accidentally get flipped. I mean, that's just who I am. There are times when, and so, you know, there are times when, hey, look, in my first job as a prosecutor, I got to a point where I said, I'm not going to be able to advance anymore in this organization. So I said, okay, I'm not doing this for him. I'm doing it for my family. So I'm going to start to look elsewhere. And I took my skill set and I went somewhere else. So, hey, man, there are options that we face when the enemy attacks us. We can give up. I did that, and I started working somewhere else. Or we could just kind of get discouraged about it, and we can say, oh, no, I don't know what about this. I don't know about this. Or there's another strategy. We can ignore it. Yeah. Oh, I'm facing all this opposition. Things are going bad, and we can continue to ignore it. I mean, that's like you know, your check engine light comes on. Yeah, check engine light, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it sounds like sandpaper on metal, and the car blows up on the side of the road. There's a danger to giving up sometimes. There's a danger to ignoring it sometimes. But there's also something else that you can do. You can also work harder at it. And a lot of us try to do that. A lot of us try to do that. We'll just work harder at something. and we're driven by an idea and an ideal. For example, in my brain, future John. This is the dude that I'm working to, and he is coming soon, people, and you are going to love Future John. I have had Future John ever since I was cognizant of myself and my existence, maybe about 3 years old. And Future John, that dude is kind and compassionate. Future John is so smart, so brilliant. He reads books all the time. Future John can work all day long and come home and have all the energy necessary to be an awesome husband and a great father. That's Future John. That's Future John. Future John, he can take the troubles and the tumults. Future John's such a great leader. Future John knows when to push harder. And then he also has the self-awareness of being able to kind of pull back and be encouraging and compassionate. That's Future John. Future John, he coming soon to a church near you. It's future John. And here's my problem in my brain. I am constantly working to be future John. I'm working harder at being future John. But there are times when the enemy is attacking, and man, it just gets discouraging in different areas of the life. It just gets discouraging, and I get a little bit torn down. And this is what's going on to the people of Israel. They're just getting a little bit discouraged. I mean, they have this assignment by God in a place that God had given them. They have a deep, firm conviction about it. But the enemy has just been decimating their progress so much that pretty soon they're just like, why even try? Nehemiah, why are we even doing this? And Nehemiah gives us just the most awesome suggestion. Verses 19 and 20. He says, I want you to gather yourselves together. And when you hear the trumpet, everybody gather at that place, because everybody was scattered abroad, because this was a big wall. Everybody's scattered about. They're all in different places. But when you hear the trumpet, I want you to come together. You know, it's kind of cool about Camp Creek. The distances that we travel to get here. And I think that's because it's such a special church. It would be so much easier for some of us. It would be so much easier just to drive 4 or 5 miles to go to a church nearby. But there's something special about this place. We're kind of spaced out, but we come together here at Camp Creek Church. And Nehemiah says, I know you're all kind of spaced out, but come on together when you hear the trumpet call. And this is what I want you to do. Come on together. Everybody, get a sword, get a spear. Come on together. And I want to kind of spend a little bit of time on this real quick. I'm going to use a visual aid for us, because they were building walls. But in the walls, you had high places and you had low places. So I'm going to ask for some help. Y'all forgive me, but 4 boys, come on up here. Okay, stand, face the congregation. Because these are different areas of your life. And Alex is going to be jobs and career. Just hold it there. Matthew's going to be marriages. Drew's going to be finances. Joshua's going to be free time. And man, free time is cool. I need, hey, Matthew, Caleb, Jake, come here. Because we got to build a bigger wall. Come on, let's go. Matthew's going to be health. Jake's going to be relationships. Caleb's going to be faith. And man, this is our wall that we've built right here. And behind the wall is our peace. This is back here is our joy. This back here is our confidence in the Lord. This is a safe spot right here. And we got a wall. But here's what happens in our life, okay? And this is so important. Free time. Man, this is good. But let me tell you something. When you got 4 kids, go ahead and take a knee. You got a low spot in your wall, right? And when you got 4 kids, oh, hey, whoa, 4 kids, take a knee. Finance. 4 kids, take a knee. Okay, yeah, boom. And when this is going on right here, what happens is my marriage is stressed. Just lay down. My free time, just go down. It's done. It's over. Okay, y'all can stand back up. Y'all stand back up. That's what goes on in my life. But here's another thing that happens, right? When my finances are stressed, kneel down a little bit. It not only allows the enemy to get to my peace and my joy, but the enemy can also go, bam, to the side, and I get a little bit snippier at home, right? And so he can start to attack my marriage from the side and start chipping away at the marriage, or you can stand back up. Thank you. All right, here's the thing, man. Maybe I'm doing all right and okay, but all of a sudden I've got a diagnosis of cancer or a mass. Take a knee. Why did I get that diagnosis? Take a knee. And my faith starts to go down. Things are going so horrible, and then maybe I'm not the friend or the spouse or the daddy that I need to be. Take a knee. And then all this, and all of a sudden the enemy, he's got into my joy, he's got into my peace, he's got into my confidence. Or maybe he's just going to take some opportunity and take out the rest of my wall like that. Stand up. But here's the other thing that happens, all right? Because sometimes, it's all interrelated. Because sometimes I get a big point at my job. John, you've got to accomplish this, and you've only got 5 weeks to do it, and it can't be done in 5 weeks. But here's the thing. My marriage is still there. My finances are there. I can't ignore my kids. Maybe I start eating a little like McDonald's every other day, and my health is going to start to suffer. All this stuff still has to be maintained. Just because I got particular stresses on my jobs and my career right here, all that other stuff has still got to be maintained. Guys, thank you. We all got walls. And these are the walls that we all have. So Nehemiah gives this awesome thing. He's saying, hey man, when you got an area of your life that's starting to suffer and starting to go down, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. When we got a low spot that's being attacked by the enemy, we're going to blow the trumpet. And when we blow the trumpet, I want everybody to come together at that spot. We are going to build a wall, but to quote our other candidate, we're stronger together. This is why I don't understand how people can come to church once a month. And I don't know if that's you. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but that makes no sense. You are spiritually damaging yourself because Nehemiah says, hey man, let us come together so that we can lift each other up and protect that area of our wall. Because here's the thing, and this is what happens at Camp Creek Church a lot of times, and I'm so thankful for it. We've had people whose finances have been stressed and they're going down. But we have people in our church who stand in the gap and they build the wall. We have had that happen at Camp Creek so many times where we come together to help out other people. And maybe it's not just finances. There's times at Camp Creek where we'll come together and I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling. Will you pray for me about my health? Will you just help me lift up my faith? And we come together. Coming to church, getting encouraged with one sermon. I get that. You want to get encouraged by a singular, punctiliar message. But that's not biblical, people. We need to come together for the good of the collective body, but more importantly, we need to come together for the good of each one of us. And here's the cool thing. Because there's times in my life when I'm just like, man, I gotta try harder. I gotta struggle to be future John. I'm gonna work harder to be future John. And sometimes it's like the stress just overcomes me, and I just like I'm done. But when we come together, I want you to notice what he says. When we come together, our God will fight for us. There are times maybe when we come together and the prayers aren't answered and our husbands pass away and the cancer eats us up and the marriage falls apart. When the walls are just laid bare, but Nehemiah closes with the most awesome encouragement. Our God will fight for us. So I want to leave you on an encouraging note. Today's not a lengthy message. It's a simple message. We need to come together. We need to take care of our walls so that the enemy can't get by. But at the end of the day, it's about God fighting for us. In Romans chapter 5, he says, you know, if when we were enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. It doesn't matter how low your walls have gotten. It doesn't matter how deep the enemy has penetrated into your joy, into your peace, and your confidence in the Lord. I want to let you know that you have a God with resurrection power. You have a God that can pick up the rubbles of your life. You have a God who has stood in the gap for you in the most important battle that's ever taken place. And he is victorious over that. That's the God that we serve. But our message today is not about the eternal salvation that Christ accomplished for us before the world, in accordance with a plan that he set forth before the world even began. That's not our message today. Our message today is not about that eternal salvation, but it's about that timely salvation that we have on this earth from the knowledge of what God has accomplished for us through Christ, by Christ, and only because of Christ that he's accomplished. How do we protect our growth in that situation when our walls are constantly, because of future John, all his walls are 10 feet tall. There's no chinks in the walls of future John. But the thing is I'm not really honestly future John. And my walls, every area of my walls is in constant state of flux. And I have a constant low point and I have constant high points and they're fluctuating like that. How do I protect that Christian growth when I have that kind of dynamic? And Nehemiah says, you come together, but you know that God is fighting for you. Don't ever give up. Whatever your low point is right now, and I know some of y'all right now have some low points, and some of your walls have been decimated, and you have some rubbles. Take heart. God is fighting for you. And when our Lord is fighting for you, you've won. Nothing can defeat you. We are victorious. If you'd like to walk with us here at Camp Creek Church as we worship the victorious God through his son, Jesus Christ,